بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الخلق أجمعين، محمد وأهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين. اللهم صل على محمد. We are still in the introduction before starting with the book Al-Kafi. We discussed in the previous subject about the ways to receive hadith and the terms used, and about types of hadith, with the term used that hadith is good or is supported or is weak or is unknown. And one more thing we can add to that classification: a term used called mursal, hadith mursal. Mursal, they mean here that the hadith is, there is no continuation, cut off. Like someone who lived far from the time of the Prophet, he has not seen the Prophet, and he said, the Holy Prophet has said. Now we can ask him that, how do you know the Holy Prophet has said? He did not mention in that hadith that I hear from so-and-so, and so-and-so hears from so-and-so, and he was at the time of the Prophet, and here the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying this. But right away he said that I hear the Prophet, or he said the Prophet has said such and such thing. So here it is cut. There is no continuation of the narrators of hadith till the Holy Prophet, or till the Imam Ma'asum alayhi salam. Somebody who has not lived at the time of Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam, and he said Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam said. Now we don't know how he got this hadith. Who has told him? Those who have told him, they are good people or not good, trustworthy or not trustworthy. So here we remain puzzled about this hadith. We don't know to accept or to reject the hadith because it is mursal. There is no continuation of narrators. Now there are many important points to be discussed, or there are many standards to be looked for every hadith. The first general rule, they say, ما خالف كتاب الله فهو زخرف, as in the hadith. Every hadith, if its meaning is against the Holy Quran, then you throw it away. Whatever this hadith, even if the narrators are good, all of them are just, all of them are good, but if its meaning is contradicting with the Holy Quran, it just throw it away. Some hadith, Imam alayhi salam says, فَضْرُبُ بِي عَرْضَ الْجِدَارِ, you throw it to the wall. Finish in that hadith, because it's contradicting with the Holy Quran, then that hadith cannot be accepted. So that is one of the points we look to that. Now if that hadith is not contradicting Quran, and here we look to the narrators of that hadith, if among the narrators there is, if all of them are just or good, then you can say the hadith is accepted. But if some of them are bad people, or some are liars, or some are confused, so here in these cases we cannot take that hadith as guaranteed to be correct. So he said that hadith has is accepted if it comes to some other one relates the same story. But if only this man relates that hadith, because this man is known to be a liar, or this man is known to be confused, or this man is known to be mixing good and bad, then we have to evaluate that hadith very thoroughly. We cannot accept it. So the second way is through the narrator of the hadith. The third point is the meanings of the hadith itself. The meanings, in the sense, if it is contradicting Quran, or if it is contradicting aql, contradicting reason, or contradicting the principles of faith, then such hadith cannot be accepted. Now, it comes at a point when two hadiths, they are contradicting or giving different views. Both of these two hadiths are narrated by good and just people. So from narrator's point of view, both the hadiths are equally good. But then, when you come to the meaning, you see they are different. This man said, I heard Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam, for example, he said, when you take wudu, you do it from up down. The other one, he said, I hear Imam al-Sadiq to say it from the elbow to the fingers. The first one said from the fingers to the elbow. And both the narrators are good people, equally good. Now, this is two contradictions. How to accept it? And what way to choose? Then Imams alayhi salam have told us certain standards for that. There is one of the general standards, say, الصواب في خلافهم خالفوهم فإن الصواب في خلافهم. If one of the hadith is similar to the fatwa of the Sunnis, and the second hadith is according to the general known fatwa of the Shi'as, so you accept that hadith which is known by Shi'as. Why? Because might be, if you study the circumstances of that hadith, might be Imam said it in taqiyya. Because at time of the pressure of Bani Umayyah were there, and Bani al-Abbas were there, and Imams used to be censored by the government. And if somebody asked the Imam, and if he knows there is some enemy hearing, and he will report to the government, and the government will create a problem for the Imam. So sometimes he gives fatwa according to the general thing, and says himself. So you say Imam is giving the standard that this is it. And this was known even at the time of the Imams alayhi salam. Because some of the ashab of high degree, the companions of the Imams, or the scholars who are companions of the Imam, they used to differentiate between. So somebody bring them hadith, he say, I was just now in Medina, in Hajj, and they came to Kufa. And he said, I heard Imam say, you see, Imam told you in taqiyya, because this is not what Imam says. Usually what you know is this is the fatwa. Now, this fatwa that you have, you are right, you are not a liar. But Imam gave you fatwa in taqiyya, because this is the fatwa similar to others, not to fatwa of Ahlul Bayt alayhi wasalam. So one of the main things to be seen in hadith is whether it is according to what the taqiyya, or it was saved in freedom. And also one of the standards, Imam said, see what most of the Shias knows. Imam was giving a standard. What most of the Shia, your ashab, your colleagues, your brothers, what do they say? You follow that one. And you leave the other hadith, which is against the common belief of the ashab of the Imams, of the companions of the Imams. Because that, though it is said, but that shows it was said in taqiyya. So there are certain standards for getting hadith, and accordingly the hadith is divided into groups. When we come and study Kitab al-Kafi, we are facing so many hadith. Some are strong, some are weak, some are good, some are cut off, and so on. Then we should know how to deal with these hadith. However, we may not go through all the hadith which are available here, because that is voluminous. We may take some of the hadith, especially those hadith which are authentic and reliable, and to study them and understand their meaning. Of course, one of the advices said by the Imams alayhi salam But if a hadith, you know it is right, said by the Imam came, and its meaning is difficult to understand or difficult to digest, don't reject it. You say, رُدُّهُ إِلَيْنَا, return it to us. Said, well, Imam himself knows about that, I don't know. Because some of the facts are difficult to be understood or accepted by people. Still, they are facts. So now if something comes and it looks to us very strange, hadith, if it is right, I mean good hadith, authentic hadith, don't reject it just because you don't like it, or you cannot understand it, or you cannot digest it. That is too much, that is fanatic. No, you don't know it's best, just leave it. So I don't know. As Imam said, Imam, he knows what he says, what he says. So it is not a good habit that if a hadith we don't know its meaning or its depth, we just blindly, as some, unfortunately, of the illiterate people, they reject the hadith right away because he does not understand it, and he says, oh, reject it, this is not correct. No, that is not a good way. If you don't know the meaning of the hadith, then returning to the Imam and say, well, Imam who say this, he knows better what is the meaning or what is the reality about it. Because the narrators are good. If narrators are liars or weak, okay, you can say, I don't accept it because they're narrator. But if the narrators are authentic, you don't blindly throw it away. So these are some of the points needed to be known before we start with the ahadith. Okay, we come with the first hadith in Kitab al-Aqli wal-Jahl, or it is said the book of reason and ignorance. Reason is aql and ignorance is jahl. So here in al-Kafi he said Kitab, the book or a chapter you can call, but they are usually using the term Kitab, which means the book. So each chapter you call it one book. So these ahadith which are here, 15-20 hadith in this, under this book, is all discussing about reason, about ignorance. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. The first hadith said Abu Ja'far Muhammad ibn Ya'qub al-Kulayni, the compiler of this book, al-Kafi, informed us, saying, a group of our associates handed down this tradition. Muhammad ibn Yahya al-Attar quoted Ahmad ibn Muhammad, who quoted from al-Hasan ibn Mahbub, who quoted from al-Ala ibn Razim, who quoted from Muhammad ibn Muslim, on the authority of Abu Ja'far, who's Muhammad al-Baqir, peace be upon him, as saying. So these are the narrators of the hadith, and this hadith is regarded as sahih. According to many of our ulama, this hadith is regarded as sahih because these narrators are authentic and trustworthy. That details are not mentioned here. That will go through more details. But that is not important to know in that details. Of course, here he used أخبرنا أبو جعفر محمد ابن يعقوب. It is his name. Name of the author of the Al-Kafi is Muhammad ibn Ya'qub al-Kulayni. Abu Ja'far Muhammad ibn Ya'qub al-Kulayni. That was one of the ways known before, that when he relates the hadith, he mentioned his name. He don't say that I say. He said, أخبرنا Abu Ja'far Muhammad ibn Ya'qub. He mentioned his name because the people are writing, his students are writing from him. So when they write what? Our teacher informed us. So he mentioned from the beginning that in, our teacher, in who's Muhammad ibn Ya'qub al-Kulayni, informed us. So though the speaker was himself. Now Muhammad ibn Ya'qub, from where he got this hadith, he said, from a group or from our associates. This in al-Kulayni, this term is always used. حَدَّثَنَا عَدَّ مِنْ أَصْحَابِنَا, a group or many of our companions or a group of our associates. No, he himself. He himself is here. No, he said it, and he said he put his name, that is on his authority. So he put this book that he himself here from a group of his associates. Now who are these group of associates? In the introduction he mentioned this point, that whenever he mentioned a group of associates, he means these three, four people. In the introduction, name of these people are there. Because in Al-Kafi, this term is always coming, that a group of associates means what? So, anyhow, so he says that the group, now we come to the hadith who is ultimately related to Imam Muhammad al-Baqir alayhi salam as saying, when Almighty Allah created reason, He tested it. Then He ordered it to come forward and it came forward. Then He ordered it to go back and it went back. On this, Almighty God said, I swear by my power and majesty that no creation of mine is dearer to me than you are. And I have only made you perfect in those whom I love. The rest of the translation is in the second page. Law to you are my orders and prohibitions at rest, and for you are my rewards and retributions reserved. This is end of the first hadith. Now in this hadith, Imam alayhi salam is saying that when Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created reason, when Allah asked him, or let him talk, and asked the reason to come, then the reason came, and said, asked him to go back, and the reason went back. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala swear by His majesty that I have not created a creator who is worthier than you or more loved than you, the reasons. And Allah said that I have not made you, I have only made you perfect, complete,